As a scripture lesson, I have chosen to read from Isaiah, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to read it in the Revised Standard Version. Isaiah 7:1. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but they could not conquer it. When the house of David was told Syria is in league with Ephraim, his heart and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And Yahweh said to Isaiah, "Go forth to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed, be quiet, do not fear, do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify us by it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus saith the Lord Yahweh, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years Ephraim will be broken to pieces so that it will no longer be a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." Again Yahweh spake to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of Yahweh your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put Yahweh to the test." And he said, "Hear them, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. Yahweh will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah and the king of Assyria." That's the first 17 verses of Isaiah 7. We're still in the Christmas season, even though we had our Christmas program last week. And we're thinking about the birth of Jesus and all that attends it. The record in Matthew refers to the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, when he said, they quoted this verse to Joseph when he was afraid to take Mary because she was with child. And he said, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." This text is misapplied a great deal of the time. In fact, I heard it in a devotional from WMUU this week, in which they showed that they apply this text to indicate that Jesus was God, and because of the use of Emmanuel being interpreted God with us. I think a lot of the problem with this particular text is that translation in by the Revised Standard Version. I remember when this version first came out, the people picked on it a great deal on account of that, because it does say, "Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The thing that they did not happen to notice was that the same Revised Standard Version, when it gets over to Matthew, the 1st chapter, it plainly says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. So in other words, our read on this whole thing is that the revisers were being more correct than the King James. And it all comes down to the use of the Hebrew words. Alma was used here in Isaiah 7, where in the literal meaning of Alma is young woman. And all it means is an unmarried female. And it is not the technical Hebrew word for virgin. The technical Hebrew word for virgin is the word Bethula. And it is not used in Isaiah 7:14. And the reason I believe this is this way is because the Word of God is inspired, and the prophecy, Isaiah 7:14, had a double fulfillment. And as a result of this, this is the reason that God inspired the word Alma to be used there, because in its first application, it was not to an unmarried woman, but rather to a married woman. And when you get digging into this particular text and how it's used, you find out that the first Emmanuel was Isaiah's son. And Emmanuel, by the way, means with us, God. Emmanuel is with us. El, of course, is God. And so it had a double fulfillment. The first fulfillment was in Ahaz's time. It was very plain from the text what the problem was. You remember, by this time in history, the northern 10 tribes had pulled away from Israel and formed a separate nation. So it was called Israel, and the southern 2 tribes were called Judah. And the capital of the northern 10 tribes was Samaria. The capital of the southern 2 tribes was Jerusalem. And these did not get along. And so as a result here, as this story goes on, you have Rezin, the king of Syria, which is Damascus, is its capital, and we still have Syria, Damascus and Syria with us today. And the other one was Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel. And they said, let's go up and really put some fear into Judah. And so Ahaz was the king of Judah, and he was very frightened. And God sent the prophet to him and said, ask a sign of God, and he will give you a sign that these two nations will not defeat Judah and Jerusalem. Ahaz said, I won't ask a sign. I'm not going to tempt God. But God said, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. So Isaiah's wife, the prophetess, was the mother of the Emmanuel at that time. And this is always a kind of a jawbreaker, but it's not all that bad. But it's the biggest proper name in the Bible. It's Meir Shal Al Hashbaz. This was the son of Isaiah, and he's mentioned over here in the very next chapter, in the first verse. Moreover, Yahweh said unto me, take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Meir Shal Al Hashbaz. And so this was Isaiah's son by his wife, who was called a prophetess. And if you keep on reading down here in this 8th chapter, it says, he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. So you see, this is not just 7:14 is not the only place that Emmanuel occurs. Here you find him talking about this one, and then goes on down and actually uses translates Emmanuel, the 10th verse. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. And that "for God is with us" is Emmanuel. So in other words, it's not a single proper name that's being referred only to Jesus, but it is being used more loosely in this prophecy in the deliverance of Judah from Syria and Israel. And he said that you can go ahead, he was telling these enemy kings, go ahead all you want, but God is going to tell you it's going to come, it's not going to stand, it's not going to come to pass, for God is with us. Now, he's not saying God is down here with us, but he said God is for us. God is on our part. In other words, God will save us. And so as a result of this, you see that God was with them and for them. Judah was spared, and God indeed was with them. Very interesting that this name, Meir Shalal Hashbaz, is translated by Moffat in his version. He calls him spoil soon, pray quick. In other words, that he is a sign child, and the kings that are against him would be spoiled themselves rather than Judah. So there was an Emmanuel in Isaiah's time. That was Isaiah's son, Meir Shalal Hashbaz. He was the sign child that Israel and Syria would not take Jerusalem and Judah. So God was indeed with them and for them. I don't know of anybody that would claim that Meir Shalal Hashbaz was God in the flesh. Just because he was Emmanuel did not make him God in the flesh. So, going from 7:14 of Isaiah, we go to Matthew and the antitype of this type and prophecy. In other words, we find out that Meir Shalal Hashbaz, in this instance, was a type of Christ, that he was a sign child, that God was with them and would deliver them. So when you get into the story of Jesus and the antitype, of course you find out that the antitype is always greater than the type. The fulfillment is greater than the prophecy. And so it is being now applied to Jesus. And one of the things that you find over and over and over in the book of Matthew is the word fulfilled. Because this was a key word, and we know that the purpose of this was to show that Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, and that he was the sign child, and he was the actual Prince of Peace sent by God. So now what we're seeing here is that the Amma, the Hebrew word Amma, young woman, was applied to Isaiah's wife. But when you get to the New Testament in Greek, it used the word Parthenos. And that's where we get Parthenon, the wonderful building there in Athens, dedicated to the Virgin. And so just like Bethula in Hebrew, Parthenos is the technical word for a virgin, chaste, pure, unmarried woman. And so this, it's correct that Parthenos was now being used of Mary, who was a true virgin, a chaste, pure woman, the best woman that God could find at that particular time, chosen to bear Jesus. And Jesus is a sign of God's deliverance to Israel. After 600 years of captivity, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar in 606 B.C., the people longed for the coming of Messiah. They longed for God's Emmanuel, the sign that he was with them. So God was with them in Jesus' birth. They were overjoyed that he was born. In fact, many of the stories of Christmas that we read and study and use talk about the joy that this came to the people, that this sign child was born, to the shepherds, to the wise men, to Mary, and to all those that were involved in the story of Jesus' birth. He was not God in the flesh any more than Isaiah's sign child, Meir Shalom Hashbaz, was God in the flesh. He is not God, but he is not just another man. He was the seed of prophecy. And so when you get into the scriptures, Galatians 4:4 said, at the correct time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. So in other words, he was the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman that should bruise the head of the serpent. He was without sin. 1 Corinthians 15:47 said he was the second Adam. But then in the 48th verse, it says he is also the last Adam. This is dealing with an if. Well, we would say, well, what if Jesus had not succeeded in rejecting temptation? Would God have brought up another Messiah? And this, Paul is hastening to show, is not true. Jesus was the second Adam, but he was also the last Adam because he fulfilled all of the prophecies having to do with the Messiah that should come into the world. So this was wonderful. In other words, the Bible teaches the virgin birth, that he was not the son of Joseph. If he had been the son of Joseph, he could not have lived sinlessly, and he therefore could not have been an offering for our sins. He would have been dying for his own, but he didn't. In fact, the way I explain it to people is Adam was the created son of God on a high level. He was sinless, had choice. He chose sin and fell. We are on this fallen plane. Jesus was back up on the level of Adam by being born of a virgin. He had choice, and he had the same temptations as Adam, but he didn't give in, and therefore he succeeded where Adam failed. And therefore, he was the last Adam, because there would not be another, because he did what God wanted him to do, and became, in fact, the true Emmanuel. As Jesus was Emmanuel to the Jews in the time of his birth, he is also an Emmanuel to us. In other words, he is a sign. Just as Meir Shalom Hashbaz was a sign, Jesus was a sign to his people and his birth. Jesus is a sign to his people today. It brings us hope of deliverance and change and victory over sin and death, over trouble in this world. In other words, he is a sign that God is on our side and God is with us. He will fulfill his plans for the world's redemption and will ultimately bring peace on earth. We know that was God's plan for him, and because he was rejected, that peace could not come then, except the inner peace that we can have by knowing Jesus as our Emmanuel. The thing of it is, we must put our trust in God and his way, as he has the real solution to this world's trouble, which is the kingdom of God on this earth, where Jesus will be the king. Jesus, through his triumphing over sin and death, is able to deliver us from bondage and fear now. This is one thing that Christians can live in any, under any government in this world. Christians can live under any condition in this world, because we do not depend on outward peace and outward blessing to live. We can live in spite of outward trouble, outward persecution, because we have hope within us, very strong hope, and very strong belief in our Messiah. So when we look at Emmanuel, God is with us. God is for us. God is on our side. And the question I always ask myself when I say this, am I on God's side? In other words, He's done His part. Jesus has done His part. Then the rest comes back to us in the whole plan of salvation. God loved us and gave His Son. Jesus loved us, gave Himself. We have to accept that gift, the greatest gift of all time. And we have to apply it to ourselves by allowing Him to change our lives, to change our outlook, to change our hope, to change our faith and our daily living so that it corresponds to His. So today, as we're thinking on this text, Isaiah 7:14, behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Fulfilled in that time, under Mayor Shalal Hashbaz, the son of Isaiah, but there was another Emmanuel, Jesus, who will literally and completely fulfill all signs having to do with Emmanuel. Thank you for your time.